Welcome to Terranova Church. To our guests, welcome this Christmas Eve. And I recognize there are many guests who are in town with family. We're glad to have you here. For those who are regular attenders, welcome to what's really been the culmination of a journey that we decided we would press into as a community, that Advent experience of trying to understand more deeply on this journey what it means to have hope, peace, joy, and love in Christ. To identify within ourselves those things that we have held on a shelf that has eclipsed the hope, peace, joy, and love God could provide. In other words, to begin to assess and remove idols from our life. That there would be no longer a blocking, an eclipse, and a shadow cast there. But as we remove those, we would see him more clearly. Advent is quite a traditional season. And we as pastors were actually asked to give and share our Christmas traditions on the blog that's there. And as a community, one of our traditions is to take our offering on Christmas Eve and to give it totally, 100% away. We're not trying to add a 53rd Sunday to run Terra Nova and pay its bills. And so for those who are guests and those who are regulars, I want to let you know that at the end of tonight, there'll be a bucket down in the back on the floor here. And offerings will be taken. And what will happen is that money will be given to the Alight Care Center in Troy. The Alight Care Center works to help nurture and care for moms, children, and families. They work with pregnant people in need. They work with families who have court-mandated counseling issues or anger management. They work to provide clothing and food to those who are some of the neediest. We've heard their needs this season, that diapers size 4, 5, and 6. It might seem small and kind of random to some people, but that's what they need. Those have been being taken out, and they've been going at a faster rate than they can provide. So we're going to try to help them. And anything that you can give that will be put in the buckets down there at the end of the service, please let us tell you and assure you every dollar of that will go towards purchasing those things for them. Other people have already given the actual diapers to them. We appreciate the several missional individuals who've gotten involved with Alight here in Troy, and we're grateful that we can be a part of that. Let's pray together as we focus on the Word. Lord, having prepared our hearts, speak to us now of his coming, not just as an infant, but as his coming return as a king, and not just of the future then, but that we might find hope, peace, joy, and love in the fullness of life in Christ now. Help us to be able to live that more fully. Lord, where we need to turn away from things, give us the conviction of your Holy Spirit as to what is holy and what is right, and help us to move away from things that do not line up with that. Where we are unsure of direction, we ask that your same Spirit would be able to point us to Christ, that no matter where we stand tonight as individuals, we would be able to find community and unity moving towards him, the Lord, the Savior, the King. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. We sang, "God rest ye merry, gentlemen." But wouldn't it be great if that was always the case? If we could find a place of peace and rest, and in that place, we didn't just sigh a sigh of relief that our labors were done for a little while. Not just a vacation from moving from one thing to another, but we would rest merry. We would find joy that resided with us and be able to take that as we moved about. It's hard to imagine because strictly on an earthly level, our experiences alone without God's intervention look nothing like resting merry. It's a world that seems to level the joy that we can find in an instant. Dreams that we create to be lived out only here for us get deflated so easily, ego injured and bruised, and peace falls apart into conflict in secure zones in foreign countries and in the family rooms of our own homes. We're told to rest in him and to find what it means in giving ourselves to him rather than just the pieces we can have and build here. The so fragile, so temporary ones, to find ourselves resting merry. In the first reading, nobody was resting. They're all moving. Everyone's going somewhere in the Christmas story. There's a constant motion, and I hope you can find the identification of your life with that story in this. Those people were being moved and directed from where they were nearer to Christ, from where they were to what God revealed, to an endurance, to hearing a promise, to following through in faith. For Mary and Joseph, it was a move that was pushed on them by the government. God uses a lot of things to correct the way we need to move. And he used Rome, full of corruption, brutality, and idolatry. God would use Rome to move these people where they needed to be. You probably have circumstances in your life that you often look to God and say, why? Why this difficulty? Why these people? Why these situations? Why? And God moves even in the difficult. The promise that he made to Joseph and Mary was to follow through on the course he had set for them. They felt the full discomfort of a young woman, totally unprepared for pregnancy as it is, like any woman in her first pregnancy, now having to travel, and not travel in the sense that we know it, but traveling on an animal, bouncing up and down for days as they move towards Bethlehem. And Joseph, wanting to be like any young husband, providing and caring for his family, finding the frustration of Christmas Eve of not being able to get a room for his family, and having to bring his pregnant wife into a stable. It was not comfortable for them to follow and be on the move. But they found direction based on God's promise. And then in one brief phrase, it says, and the child was born. And in one particular sense, their advent is over. What they had waited for, the coming of this child is over. But it's only if we make it in the most small sense that we can say advent is over with the birth of Christ, with Mary delivering the baby and Joseph beginning to find what he can to give the baby and the mother heat and shelter. It begins and it grows. It gets stronger. I wanted to say it was like an aftershock of an earthquake or a ripple or an echo, but it's nothing like that. Those things are remainders of something that fades, and they grow weaker each time, and weaker still, until they're unnoticed anymore. This seems to be quite the opposite of that. It breaks the laws of the conservation of energy. More is created from the birth of Christ. It extends and it ripples and grows stronger and doesn't fade. It breaks the second law of thermodynamics, and things are no longer moving from disorder in continuing moving in that way. They move towards an order, towards a central place in him. It grows and extends beyond the natural, fully into the realm of the supernatural. In the second reading, we found that his coming was not just a birth of promise, but an experience of worship. As Christians, we can have theology. We can know what we believe. Maybe we were taught well by mom, dad, Sunday school teacher, priest, or pastor. And we can recite those things that are orthodoxy. But there's something completely different when the truth of God becomes known to us by both proclamation and experience. There's an existential theology that's born, that we've experienced God, we've encountered him, and found the truth that was proclaimed about him actually lines up with our experience. The angels were the ones to come and declare that. They came declaring that God always is God, that he is the good Father who loves us and has a plan for us. And he told us there was a message of good news of great joy. And there would be a sign, an infant born. Not a particularly strong sign if you're saying you're going to change the world. Some nation has made the AK-47, the machine gun, the emblem of their nation, to say, this is the strength with which we will change things. When Herod would come to control what had happened, he would come with armed soldiers who would slaughter infants. But the sign that our God gave was an infant. Life miraculous, created beyond the conception of man. And the people who heard this truth, the ones who lived this proclamation first, shepherds. And God would take these people alone doing their job, enduring on just another difficult night, and interrupt it with something more. Your life is meant to be more than the normal, mundane repetition of actions that leave you wanting to go to sleep at the end of it, to wake up and wonder why you will do it again. Your life is meant to be intersected by God the way it was with these people. And when the angels spoke, they reflected to the shepherds what God had intended for men. And the shepherds had said, go away worshiping. They begin to talk about, they make haste to Bethlehem, and they share and extend what happened with them. It's fairly loud. These are not really couth and cultured guys. These are just working guys speaking straightly that something happened about God. Rejoice when God is involved in your life. Don't hide it away. Share it. But verse 19 shows another side of response to that Mary, the quiet, faithful teenage mother, who she says, the scriptures say of her, she pondered it in her heart. She treasured it in her heart. Got to do both, right? There's a place for worshiping and extending that to other people. And there's a place for having that quiet space that the old monks used to call their cell, or some people call it a prayer closet, that inner place where you find that you have something in your heart that is a place just for you and God and what he's done in your life. And you treasure, you value the things that he has done for you, and you keep them there, and you actively sit with him and value again what he's done, a both and of proclamation and reflection. And it closes with a reminder of the promise that this is what God said. It's what the Father said he would do, that he would give this child named Jesus before he was even conceived. God had this plan. We are not left abandoned. We are not left to the devices only of economic flows and governmental powers, failures and changes of parties. The Father has a plan that we follow. So I invite you to a simple Christmas this year. Embrace the arrival of the Son who was promised. Do it with singing. Move to that fixed point from where you are. Move steps closer to him, from you to Jesus. Following this goal and receiving these gifts, that in identifying with us, God showed that he loved us. We were not alone or left alone. That as the Christ would grow, he would give his life as a sacrifice, showing that God valued and loved us at a cost, not just a message. And he would give us always that gift of community, saying and promising, I prepared a place where you will be with me. And in the between time, all these people called to him from every tribe, tongue, nation, and culture, from different points of view, moving to the one fixed point. They're called the church, the gathering, the community. Receive that gift. And as you go, be part of that extending strength, that life force that is different, an inversion of an echo that fades. Take Christ with you and lavish the love of God that you've experienced on people in your life who you need to give that to consistently, and people who you see in this world who need it most desperately. A reflection of what he gave for you to extend. On the last Sunday of Advent before communion, we had a basin of water and a towel. The last Sunday is love. And for so many people, we often feel like we're not worthy of the love of God because we know what we've done and we know how perfect he is. And people had a time of confession and came up and washed their hands, symbolizing the cleansing that God offers in Christ, and then received communion. That was preparatory. Tonight we're going to work on the other side, what we do after, and receiving him in that Advent that's moment by moment. When you come and receive communion, and we celebrate that the Christ who came for us came with a purpose, to sacrifice himself for us and to rise again to provide lordship and direction, and take a piece of the matzah and dip it into the wine or grape juice. And you were given a candle when you came in. And on the communion table, both upstairs and downstairs, there are candles. Just light your candle off of that. And as you're lighting it, just between you and God in that small place we talked about, that place where you treasure a life with him, ask him to show you how you can reflect him if it is your desire to be a part of that movement that seems to swell and grow stronger as it continues through time, that began with the promise of an infant and a virgin. Let's pray together as communion team comes up. Father in heaven, how grateful we are, how joyous this good news, that you would speak through the silence of our wonder and doubt, to tell us there is a promise, to be joyful to know that there is good news, that a Savior is. Father, how wonderful your ways, that you would call people to be with you, wanting us ever closer, more and more intimate, that our Advent never ends as we see more and more of you revealed to us, and we can embrace that more and more. Father, how baffling and wonderful that you would give to us your life, your spirit, that we could be your body, moving at your will. Oh, Father, in this Advent, let us receive the Christ afresh, to know that he's come to earth, and that Christ has died, risen, and will come again. And all of that funnels directly to one moment that we have to live with him. Father, teach us what it is to live with that joy and trust of Christ who has come. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.